8 o'clock on a Tuesday morning, and from one Chapman to another, it's now Warwick Chapman joins us. We had a very interesting conversation about solar installation, and of course Warwick being the solar champion, if you like, from the greater Ballito area. Sensible Solar is one of these leading lights in the solar industry locally, and definitely if you are considering solar, you should be chatting with the team from Sensible. But let's just backtrack a little bit. There was great consternation, shall we say, in public circles when it was announced that Eskom was going to start imposing regulations and then fines and all sorts of drama if solar installations were done either incorrectly or not registered. And it is a bit of a scary situation. So possibly we can open up that can of worms and see what pops out.
So Eskom has ramped up its publicity around the requirement to register so-called SSEG systems, small-scale embedded systems. For the rest of the discussion, we'll just talk about solar systems. And I say ramped up its publicity because that requirement, at least from an Eskom perspective, has existed for 10-plus years now. What they're doing now is they're just enforcing that requirement, or at least they have set a deadline, which is March next year, by which they will start enforcing. What does that mean? That means from an Eskom perspective, if you are an Eskom customer with an Eskom electricity bill, if you aren't registered and they find that out, they have threatened to disconnect you from the network. Okay, and why would they disconnect you from the network? Because registration at a high level is about two things. It's about safety on the grid, and it's about the quality of electricity on the grid. And the reason this is relevant is because prior to the advent of solar systems, there were really two kinds of electricity available to the average consumer or business. And that was, you used power from the grid, or when the grid was down, you used power from a generator. And they were never operating in combination with one another. A generator was never feeding power into the grid, right? With the advent of solar systems, we now have something that's running in parallel with the grid. It's running simultaneously with the grid. And any power that it generates, it's feeding or synchronizing with the grid and feeding into the grid. So now you've got a situation where the power utility, who previously completely controlled the quality of power, is now dealing with tens of thousands of these small-scale embedded generators. And so, one, it needs to make sure that it's safe to work on the network and that the equipment that's installed complies with all the safety requirements, and two, that the equipment that's installed is generating a high enough quality of power that they can meet their obligations in terms of the regulations, because they are required as an electricity distributor to ensure the quality of power on the network.
Now, it's interesting you talk about the quality of power, because to the layman and woman, I'm quite convinced that it's either on or it's off. There's, you can't see it, you can't taste it, but put your finger in the plug hole and you'll definitely feel it. But explain the difference in quality.
It can get very, very technical. The simplest quality metric is voltage. So you may have heard of what people colloquially call single phasing. So that's if you've got a three-phase supply and one of the phases is down. A three-phase supply is basically three single-phase electricity supplies. They just happen to be in a particular sequence. And if one of them is offline, then any three-phase equipment, lifts, big ducted air cons, that kind of pumps, will stop working. But the single-phase equipment on the other two phases might carry on operating, right? So that's one usually localized issue. That's because a local transformer or something goes down. Then you have issues of elevated or lower voltage problems. In KDM, there's a lot of people at the moment complaining about voltages in the high 240s, low 250s, 250 volts. And
it's supposed to be 220?
It's supposed to be 230.
Okay.
And this is where it gets contentious, because the grid code says 230 volts with 10% on either side. So it's actually 207 to 253. But the grid code also says that every complaint must be investigated. And if it's proven that elevated voltages that are still below the threshold are causing damage, then they must attend to it. Now, KDM has something called AVRs installed in all of its substations, automatic voltage regulators, which regulate voltage automatically. And as far as we're aware, and it's obviously hard to get accurate information out of KDM, but as far as we can ascertain, and from what insiders have told us, none of them are working anymore.
Oh.
Okay. So, symptomatic of the maintenance issues we've spoken about before. So, voltage is one. The availability of all three phases is another. And then it gets super complicated. You've got something called harmonics. You can think of it as noise on the network. And harmonics can damage sort of sensitive electronics inside laptops and things like that.
Which is why if you look for an alternative system, you can get a clean sign or a dirty sign. Huh? Clean power or dirty power?
So the requirements, the South African requirements that Eskom or KDM or whoever will test you against or require you to comply with when you register your system, one of those will be, has it met the standard? Has it got a certificate of conformance against that standard? And if it has, then they can have a high degree of confidence that the quality of the power from a voltage control perspective and from a noise perspective is going to be good, and it's not going to adversely affect the network.
And I presume there is a lot of equipment coming in from, I would again assume, China, being a very well-documented supplier of equipment at prices that South Africans can afford. But then the Chinese manufacturer often has a questionable quality control standard. And I presume some of the cheaper gear would fall into that category.
There's a very popular brand of Chinese inverter in South Africa, often labeled as MISA, RCT, sometimes Kodak, sometimes Synergy. And they are made by a company in China called Voltronics. And for many years, they were the most installed inverter in South Africa. And none of them are permitted to be used on the grid in South Africa. They're all supposed to be off-grid only with a generator input. But obviously, tens of thousands of them are installed in South Africa on grid, and they're not certified for use on the grid.
Which is a problem, clearly. It's going to be a nightmare trying to clean up that problem. I wish them well. I genuinely do, because ultimately the aim is for a stable power supply and a safe one. But it's a situation that is what it is, and now it's a question of managing it. However, if you are looking at going solar, and I think that's almost mandatory these days, and I'm going to have a chat with you after this, because it's something that we've been putting off for too long, and it's now got to the stage where I think price of electricity going north at a rapid rate, availability of electricity from Eskom, etc., that's also questionable. So I think it's incumbent upon anyone that can to start looking seriously at alternatives. When you start looking seriously at alternatives, I think it's mandatory that you... I mean, human nature says, well, what can I afford? Let's find a good price. But in this case, because it's I don't want to sound dramatic, but life or death situation, if you have a faulty or a bad installation, it can literally cost you your life or the lives of your loved ones. So clearly the emphasis then is on reliable suppliers, of which there are a good few, and Sensible Solar among them. For anyone looking to explore, are you able to sort of go through a checklist with a prospective customer to give them an idea of what, because if you don't know, you don't know, and how would one even start the exercise in terms of what I need?
Okay. So, Dave, what do you need? What kind of home do you have?
Okay. Well, the very few people in my household left, empty nest syndrome.
Yeah, we deal with that a lot as well.
Yeah.
So roughly the size of the house?
Oh, I don't know. Technically, it's got a three-bedroom house.
Okay, three-bedroom house. So a three-bedroom house, have you got relatively open roof spaces? They're not crowded in by trees?
Unfortunately, we do have little bit of a forest around us.
Okay. So for most of our clients, they want lights, TV, internet, and most appliances in plugs. So if you want to make a smoothie or if you want to use the air fryer or something like that, you'd like those things on.
So you can actually separate it out like that?
Absolutely.
Wow.
So we'll assume for your guys' insulation that the geyser, the pool pump if there is one, the oven, the electric oven, any electric stoves, things like that, if you've got underfloor heating, that kind of stuff, which I hope you don't on the North Coast, we'll put that on the non-essential side of your DB, on the Eskom side.
Right.
If Eskom or KDM's online, they're on. If Eskom or KDM's off, they're off. The rest of your house, we try and put onto the inverter backup solar side of things so that you can live... apologize. So you can live your life pretty normally when there's a power outage, because you don't really need those things that I mentioned, unless we now start going into a multi-day outage, right? And you will know from, I'm sure, some of the conversations you've had with Barry on the plumbing side of things, that there are even much more energy efficient ways of heating water these days than ye old traditional geyser water heater. So even that kind of thing can be incorporated into your solution going forward. So once we've decided what the split is, based on the things that you say that you want backed up, we'll say, okay, we're going to offer you a 5 kVA inverter system with, say, 12 solar panels. And because you've got shading, we're going to use a shading-tolerant solar panel. So it's a little bit more expensive, call it 20% more expensive, but the yield that you get will be 80% higher in shading conditions, okay? And then batteries are not really such a controversial choice anymore. There's a couple of really well-established battery players in the market. And what we try and focus on is the battery comes with a 10-year warranty. So we look at the battery itself. Does it tick the boxes technically? Great. Most batteries do. What about the company that's backing up this warranty? Are they likely to be around in 10 years' time if you have a problem? That's one of our biggest criteria. So we choose from mostly some of the well-capitalized local companies. And then we'll give you a quote. Rough indicative. If you say, look, this is in my ballpark, I can accept this, then we'll come around and we'll measure up, we'll work out our cable routes from the roof into your garage or whatever, from your garage to your DB, wherever it is, and we'll give you a final quote, which is usually not very different from the indicative.
Okay. So it's not an onerous task, it's doable. And from the time that you get the go-ahead to is it a long process to install?
We have a bit of a lead time. So lead times aside, the actual installation of that kind of three-bedroom, 5 kVA, 12 panels is probably 2 to 3 days at the most.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because you're connecting the system to the DB, I presume, and not going into each and every... No. So
exactly.
It's not too much of a night. You're not going to be knocking down walls
We're not rewiring your house.
Yeah, yeah, yes. Yeah. Oh, it sounds like it's a must-do. So certainly we will be in touch. And if you're listening to this and wondering, yeah, maybe it's time for you to look at solar. A lot of folk have put off the inevitable because, well, equipment has improved in terms of technology. So, but I think we mentioned last time, that advantage is now, we've got as good as it's going to get.
You've got
much.
As good as it's going to get, and the advantage that you have now is that prices are half what they were a couple of years ago.
Ah.
Panels, batteries, inverters, all of it is
luckily
half.
You're not bringing them in from America, otherwise you might have a different story.
Absolutely. So Now the question is registration, and it doesn't have to be that complicated, especially if you're buying kit from us, because we only sell stuff that will sail through the registration process. You need a certificate of compliance for any electrical installation. If someone comes in technically and changes this light fitting, they have to issue you a certificate of compliance. Okay, so you'll get that from us. And then KDM for systems that are smaller than 30 kVA, KDM requires that a qualified solar installer signs it off, as opposed to an engineer, which is good because engineers are expensive. Now, Eskom requires you to use an engineer, which is one of the things that people are kicking up a fuss about. And what does the installer have to sign off? The installer basically has to sign off that the equipment used is compliant, the whole conversation we had earlier about safety and quality of power, and that it is correctly sized, that we haven't gone to your house with a 63 amp single phase supply and put in a massive 50 kVA system that's oversized, that has the potential to overwhelm local infrastructure. So the person's basically signing on the dotted line to say that this system uses the right components and it's appropriately sized. The COC indicates that the electrical installation has been done to code, and then the rest of the registration process is just providing some details.
Well, it sounds really straightforward and simple. I'm sure it's a lot more complicated than that, but that's why we're talking to the experts. As far as the ordinary layman is concerned, you just need to know that you're dealing with someone reputable, that you are dealing with someone reputable, it's important, and that the system that you install has to be signed off. And thereafter, I presume there's to make sure that maintenance and backup is available, always good to go with an approved supplier. That is just because the world we live in is full of strange behavior, as Johnny Clegg once sang. So thank you again, Warwick, for popping in from Sensible Solar's perspective to give us an overview. And we'll certainly be in touch. If you're listening to this and wondering how you can get in touch with Warwick, because this will go up as a podcast shortly, you don't need to write down the information, but how do we get hold of you?
Best to call me directly, Warwick Chapman, 083-77-97094.
Easy as that. Super. And, hopefully we'll have more conversations around developments as they become available, because we're living in an age of innovation and new technology, and I'm sure things are going to not necessarily improve, but there will be options, and as they come available, let's keep the lines of communication open, because we want you to have the right to know what you're getting into, and when there are advantages to be had, we'd like you to get them first on your favorite radio station, from Bolito, 88 FM Radio, Life and Style. Thanks, Warwick. Chat again soon.
Ciao.